Hello there. Anybody home? This is Jenny in Fairbanks. Looking for a mic check. Hello. This is Jenny in Fairbanks looking for a mic check.
Danae, can you hear us? Testing. Testing.
This is Jenny in Fairbanks. Is anyone available for a mic check? This is Jenny in Fairbanks. Is anybody available for a mic check? This is Jenny in Fairbanks looking for a mic check.
This is Danaya calling in for a sound check.
Thank you, Danaya. This is Jenny.
Oh, hi. Hi, Jenny. You sound loud and clear.
Thank you. So that's mic one.
Sounds good.
Mic two.
Sounds good.
Testifier mic.
That sounds good.
Okay, that's it. We're just using
all righty. Okie dokie. Thank you. Bye.
Hello, everybody. The hearing is still a few minutes away, formal hearing, which is the hearing of testimony. I'm going to start just reading some of the required statements so that we have as much time as possible allocated to the actual testimony. Is that okay with everybody? Okay. I'm Byron Mallott, Lieutenant Governor, and I call this public hearing to order. The purpose of this hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding Citizen Initiative 17FSH2, an act providing for the protection of wild salmon and fish and wildlife habitat, which is appearing on the November 6th general election ballot. This hearing is required under law. Alaska Statute 1545195 requires the Lieutenant Governor to hold two or more public hearings concerning the initiative in each judicial district of the state at least 30 days before the November 6th general election. Only those attending in person today will be able to testify, but anyone may submit public comment on ballot measure one at any time through the online public notice posted at notice.alaska.gov/189769. The handouts for this hearing are also available for viewing and downloading as part of this public notice. We are going. We have a hard stop on this hearing at 4 o'clock. If there are those who have not at that time been able to testify, or if those who are planning to testify choose not to do so in person, and if you have written testimony of any kind, you may leave it here at the table with Scott or out front with April. And those statements will become part of the hearing record. Written comment on ballot measure one may also be mailed to Office of Lieutenant Governor, P.O. Box 110015, Juneau, Alaska 99811. Anyone unable to attend a hearing in person will be able to provide oral testimony during a statewide teleconference currently scheduled for October 13. Anyone wishing to testify in person today should sign up using the provided sign-in sheets. There will be no Q&A as part of today's hearing, but representatives from the Departments of Fish and Game, Environmental Conservation, Transportation and Public Facilities, and Natural Resources will be reviewing the testimony and comments received. Each agency has contributed to a frequently asked questions document, and this FAQ may be updated as a result of these hearings. And the most current version of the FAQ will always be available through the online public notice for this hearing. The order for receiving testimony today shall be a statement of support from the sponsors of the initiative and a statement of opposition from any organized opposition to the initiative. Those two spokespersons will be allowed to read their full statements. We will then accept testimony from attendees in the order that they signed up to testify. Testimony will be limited to 2 minutes per person. We already have three full signed sign-in sheets, and I expect we will have more, 17 on a page, 2 minutes per person. That gets us right to the wire. I don't have a gavel, so I have nothing to throw. But But hopefully we will all respect the time and try to keep our statements to the two-minute limit. Okay, it is now 2 o'clock, so we will begin accepting testimony. Each person testifying should state their name for the record, because as I call you up, based upon the history of these hearings, what I read from the sign-in sheet may not even be close to the actual pronunciation of many names. Okay. We will now hear a statement from the sponsors of the initiative.
Good afternoon, Sasan. Folks can hear? Okay.
Welcome.
Minimal. Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor. It's nice to see you again. For the record, now he's got his gavel. Just don't throw it at me first. For the record, I'm Dr. Stephanie Quinn Davidson. I'm a fisheries scientist and have worked in salmon fisheries on the Yukon River for 7 years, first as a research biologist and then a fishery manager for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I now serve as the director of the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission with Tanana Chiefs Conference. I first arrived on the Yukon during the lowest king salmon runs on record. The king salmon declined due to reasons out of our control, but it doesn't diminish the lessons of what happens when salmon disappear. I've traveled up and down the river, visiting nearly 30 communities since then. I've seen what happens when communities lose their salmon, and I've heard story after story of loss of culture, tradition, knowledge, and way of life, and a decline in well-being. It is my experience on the Yukon and these stories that led me to become one of the co-sponsors of Ballot Measure 1. All Alaskans have been given the gift of salmon passed down through generations. Salmon and other related fisheries support a $2 billion annual economy, 32,500 fishing jobs, communities around the state, and a way of life for thousands of Alaskans. In addition, in many areas of the state, our tourism economy is driven by visitors coming to Alaska to fish and to hunt and view wildlife, supporting 43,000 additional jobs and adding $4.8 billion annually to the economy. We are at a critical moment in the history of our state. Our salmon runs are mostly intact, but Alaska is growing fast, and a new generation of mines, dams, and large projects are being proposed. Our 60-year-old ineffective law that is meant to protect salmon habitat will not protect us from the worst effects of mining and overdevelopment on salmon, not when it's perfectly legal for corporations to wipe out salmon spawning and rearing streams. Nearly half of the culverts under roads on the Kenai Peninsula are inadequate for salmon passage, cutting off miles and miles of spawning habitat because of faulty design up front. The Mat-Su Basin Salmon Habitat Partnership, a collaboration of state, federal, local, and nonprofit partners, report in their strategic action plan that rapid population growth and the accompanying pressures for development will increasingly challenge the ability of stakeholders to balance fish habitat conservation with these changes over time, and that local salmon streams could experience significant health degradation without human intervention to restore and rehabilitate habitat. We are living with a 1950s operating system for salmon streams, and it can't keep up. When Alaska became a state, the drafters of the Alaska Constitution recognized the value of these resources and created directives to protect salmon and other renewable resources. I refer you to Article 8 of the Alaska Constitution, which reserves fish, wildlife, and water to the people of Alaska for common use, directs the state to sustainably utilize, manage, and maintain our fisheries and renewable resources, and also directs the legislature to equally prioritize and balance the conservation of natural resources with the state's interest in the utilization and development of them. These constitutional directives serve as the foundation for Alaska's standard of care when managing our salmon resources. We pride ourselves in Alaska on the best managed fisheries in the world, but we can't simply manage only harvest and expect our salmon populations to remain strong. We need to also have strong habitat management in place, especially during times of low returns. The opposition will tell you that Ballot Measure 1 won't do the one thing it's meant to do, improve salmon runs, and they couldn't be more inaccurate. In tough times, the single most important thing we can do is provide healthy habitat for salmon to come back to. Having clean, healthy habitat for salmon to return to will help mitigate the impacts of climate change in the ocean. It is a much-needed buffer for our struggling salmon. Irresponsible development that damaged salmon's habitat will only exacerbate the declines we are currently seeing with salmon across the state. Ballot Measure 1 will ensure that we are not making matters worse for our salmon. The problem is that Alaska's current fish habitat protection and permitting law is too general to truly balance sustainable fisheries and responsible development. Under the current law, the commissioner shall issue a fish habitat permit unless the plans and specifications are insufficient for the proper protection of fish and game. However, there's no definition of what the proper protection of fish and game means, and that means that the current law does not provide the certainty or accountability in the system to ensure that law will be applied consistently over time and without political influence. And that's why Ballot Measure 1 is so important right now. Ballot Measure 1 offers a proactive solution to strengthen Alaska law and protect salmon streams as Alaska continues to grow. It establishes clear, enforceable science-based standards for development around salmon streams, requiring things like adequate water in streams, fish passage, and clean water that wild salmon need, while also requiring mining companies to pay for cleanup of long-term damage. It creates a two-track permitting system to ensure that projects that pose little threat to habitat get a minor permit and are processed quickly, but large projects like the Pebble Mine are put on the major permit track to receive more scrutiny because they have the potential to damage Alaska salmon fisheries. It ensures that Alaskans for the first time, have a voice in the permitting process for major development projects that could harm salmon streams. And it gives fish and game authority over all salmon streams in Alaska, not just 50% of them. Finally, it creates a path for responsible development projects to move forward in a way that protects our wild salmon legacy. Alaska is the last place in the United States that still enjoys wild, healthy, thriving salmon populations. We can look to the lower 48 and we can see what irresponsible development does to salmon. We have the opportunity to finally get it right here in Alaska. And my hope for our future is that we can learn from the past and choose a different path. Protecting our salmon runs for future generations is about as Alaskan as it gets. And I hope you'll join us and vote yes on Ballot Measure 1 on November 6th. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Dr. Quinn Davidson. Is there, please, no demonstrations if possible. Matter of fact, this is the first hearing of six or seven we've held already where this has taken place. Alaskans are respectful of one another. A statement in opposition to Proposition 1.
Good afternoon. I want to thank you for your time. I respect the people in this space and all their passion. My name is Grace Peterson. I'm the daughter of John and Rebecca Peterson, and my parents are very opposite people. I grew up walking in two different worlds. I'm Yupik and white. As a child, I didn't understand why I felt so torn between these two worlds, and now I understand that I could not have one without the other. I was born and raised in Fairbanks. I have a degree from the University of Alaska Fairbanks in geological engineering. While working on my degree, I was a seasonal employee at Kinross Fort Knox, and I saw a similarity between the hard physical work that I did there and the hard work I learned while growing up in a household with subsistence lifestyle. The respect I have for the environment is what drove me to hold myself and other people responsible and accountable within the mining industry. I now work at Ukakti Consulting, and we excel at the often difficult prospect of bringing people and groups together who feel like opposites so that they can find common ground. And I think that a lot of us in this room feel like we're opposites, but it is in my experience that opposites and two different worlds can coexist. I know it because I live it every day. I see how balance is necessary, how balance between responsible resource development and environmental protections is necessary, and I believe Ballot Measure 1 disrupts this balance. This is why I work for the Stand for Alaska No on One campaign. Ballot Measure 1 would eliminate our science-based fish habitat protections and replace them with unclear, untested regulations. This not only threatens our jobs and our economy, it threatens our rights as property owners and our ability to maintain and develop infrastructure. It does not do the one thing that we're told it will do, which is just fix the problems with our salmon runs. Road safety improvements, North Slope projects, docks, hydroelectric power, this measure will shut down or delay existing operations and future projects that support the livelihoods of tens of thousands of Alaskans. Key projects would see extreme delays and shutdowns. Roads, pipelines, wastewater treatment facilities, bridges, land access, home building, septic systems, wells, hydroelectric power, mining, ice roads, tourism operations, and much more would be threatened. Under Ballot Measure 1, simple projects like adding a dock or a culvert may become tangled in bureaucracy. It's possible to pay for the extensive and expensive scientific study. Your project would be open to public comment, not only, or that would mean that anyone, including outsiders, could stop that project. And your failure to navigate this process could result in thousands of dollars of criminal penalties. This measure couldn't come at a worse time for Alaska. It will increase our state budget by millions of dollars a year. We have the highest unemployment rate in the country. Our state is in a recession, and this measure's potential job-killing regulations is the last thing that we need. More than 70% of our state revenue depends on resource development projects, and we simply can't drive up the cost of the projects that pay the bills. The impact across our economy would be felt statewide. A voter should consider what is the upside or the intended purpose for this measure, and it should solve an actual problem, and I believe it doesn't. Respected fish biologists and scientists agree that the problems causing our low salmon runs are in the ocean. Ballot Measure 1 only regulates inland freshwater. I believe we can make reasonable improvements to habitat protection. Ballot Measure 1, I don't think it does that. I think it eliminates the opportunity to have the conversation. The measure is vague, and it gives too much power to one singular government appointee. If it passes, lawyers and courts will determine exactly what this complex measure does and does not do. More than 450 Alaska businesses, organizations, and groups, and 15,000 individual Alaskans have joined together to oppose the measure. And it's not just businesses. Alaska Native corporations and labor unions, including the state AFL-CIO, representing 55,000 working households, oppose Ballot Measure 1. We all agree this measure threatens Alaska jobs, the way we do business, and our rights as Alaskans to develop our land and our communities. This measure causes too much damage, and I think it goes a little too far. Ballot Measure 1 does not solve, but rather creates problems. More job loss, a slowed economy, more state spending, major projects jeopardized, restricted individual rights and property rights. And this is a lose-lose proposition. I think we need to go beyond the symbolism of fish versus oil or salmon versus gold and look at the letter of the law and decide if this is good policy. Personally, I don't think it is. I hope Alaskans will join me in voting no on November 6th. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we will now begin public testimony. Again, come forward as your name is called. I will read off the list in the order that folks signed up, and state your name and limit your testimony to 2 minutes. Gordy Carroll.
I'm here, but I'm going to not testify at this time. I want to wait a little bit.
Okay. Frank?
Kine. Is he going to lose his position?
No. Well,
okay.
he will be added to the end of the list.
End of the list. Is that what he wants? I want to make sure.
Is that what you want?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Frank Keim is my name, 2220 Penrose Lane here, Fairbanks. Between my wife and I, Jennifer, we have been residents in this state for 99 years, okay, 58 and 41. We also have spent 21 years in the Lower Yukon Kuskokwim Delta as teachers in four Yupik villages, which is why we support Stand for Salmon Initiative 1. We're dismayed, and absolutely dismayed, at how these huge multinational resource corporations have hoodwinked Alaskans with their expensive $10 million misinformation campaigns. This is just one more example of how the corporates are doing all they can to convert us everyday folks into job serfs. We believe that Initiative 1 would put science-based standards and accountability into law that would protect more than 30,000 Alaskan jobs in the fishing industry. That's important, 30,000 Alaskan jobs that generate $722 million in taxes that pay for schools and other social programs, also important. Since only 50% of Alaska's salmon rivers are presently protected under Alaska law, the Stand for Salmon Initiative would also help prevent catastrophes that could wipe out huge numbers of our state's wild salmon populations. One big recent decision by the state regarding the giant Donlin mine prospect on the Kuskokwim River infuriates us. Influenced mightily by the Alaska Miners Association and the multinational corporates, the state, in spite of its admission that there would be adverse effects on salmon and their habitat in the Kuskokwim River, and by the way, this is Alaska's second most important subsistence river next to the Yukon, where I lived for so many years, granted the Donlin mines, mostly Canadian owners, the 13 fish habitat permits they wanted. So in a nutshell, the state is giving away our salmon habitat to a foreign mining company so it can make huge profits on a resource that will mostly be exported to Asia. You tell me, is it ultimately worth trading a long-term renewable resource like salmon for very short-term, low-wage payoffs to a few local workers? We for sure think not. And by the way, I have flown over that Donlin mine, and it's huge, and it will have huge effects on the Kuskokwim River. Right? Okay,
thank you, Frank. James Kowalski.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Jim Kowalski. I've lived here for 47 years. And I would like to just make a simple statement to you, Lieutenant Governor, and the Governor, and others. It's more a question. If the trouble with salmon is in the high seas, why wouldn't the state of Alaska make an extra attempt to assure viable salmon habitat continues onward forever in the state of Alaska? I don't get it. I saw a paid advertisement with two fisheries biologists from your Department of Fish and Game say, the trouble isn't on the land, it's out in the ocean. Well, duh, then why not make an extra attempt to protect that habitat within the state of Alaska? So that's my main thought. And I think when you strip away all the details, to me it comes down to that. I cannot understand that argument. The trouble is on the high seas, so let's just forget about what goes on the land. And Lieutenant Governor, I'm going to say that I think the support for the opposition by the governor, and I guess by you, is, to me, shameful. I do not understand this. There is a question here of stewardship. I'm going to recommend that you and Governor Walker look in the dictionary, look under stewardship, and see what that entails. It's a very, very important item here in this discussion. And may I suggest next time you do a hearing, you have a sign-up sheet where people can sign in. This was chaotic. Thank you.
Thank you. Just for the record, let me note that I have not stated whether I will vote yes or no on the subject. My duty is to hold these hearings in an objective fashion, and I will do so. I did hold that the proposition as originally filed was unconstitutional. under review by the Department of Law. The Supreme Court ultimately upheld that determination, modified the proposition so that, according to the Alaska Supreme Court, it was held constitutional, and it is on that basis that these hearings are being held. The next person to testify is Geneva Hobson.
Hello. Thank you.
My name is Geneva Hobson. I was born and raised in Bristol Bay. I lived in the community of Dillingham for some time, but where I was raised was a few miles from the village on family property where we do salmon every year. I'm going to quote a few passages from a book I found at the dump here in Fairbanks. It is ironic that I should find a book like this in the trash. This is what Fairbanks is throwing away by voting no on one. I quote from this book, Wildlife Management Techniques, published by the Wildlife Society and printed in Washington, D.C. in 1971. We as wildlifers believe that wildlife and other natural resources have a permanent place in our society. Those working in the area of wildlife management, wildlifers, are ultimately involved in the manipulation of the complex land, animal, man triad. These objectives, rising from unselfish motives, are directed toward the well-being of all occupants of the planet. The human aspect of wildlife management can be solved. It cannot be left with non-wildlifers, end quote. Stand for Alaska claims that this proposal had no public input, but that is not true. We have fought very hard to get this on the ballot, and we've been fighting this for years, since I was in high school, even before then. Stand for Alaska is a little bit deceptive. This measure will not take anyone's jobs away, and it will not stop any roads. Those happen whether or not we like it. If we let them win this one, it will affect the ecosystem we depend on as a people. The wilderness is our resource by right, and we must maintain it. This measure is for defending the wildlands from corruption and to protect our pure waters from pestilence to ensure that our culture has a future. Salmon are a keystone species. A keystone species is one which other species in an ecosystem largely depend on, so much that if removed, the ecosystem would change drastically.
Thank you, Geneva.
I'm not finished. I have worked on this a very long time.
I'm sorry. This testimony is limited to 2 minutes. I will give you another 30 seconds to summarize.
Look at those on the West Coast who have failed to protect their salmon and see how they have suffered. Now their governments are pouring all of their efforts into recovering the loss of their salmon. It is more economical to conserve than it is to restore.
Thank you.
Stand for salmon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sean McGuire.
Oh, I have an extra coffee for you.
Okay, my name is Sean McGuire. I stand for salmon, and I want to say something at the beginning of this. I think we're dealing with an overarching situation in this entire country that has to do with vast corporations and moneyed interests buying elections. I think more and more we're dealing with an oligarchic situation where a very few wealthy, either corporations or individuals like the Koch brothers, are buying our democracy. And it's happening at almost every level. Citizens United, the Supreme Court decisions now allows unlimited money to flow into these elections with no one even knows where it comes from. Just suddenly, you know, millions of dollars will show up. And they're it's destroying our democracy. And I think this issue is an indication of that. I mean, you've got BP, Conoco, the Donlin Mine. These are vastly wealthy, some of the wealthiest corporations in the history of the world. They're outspending the Stand for Salmon people. It's small people 90-1. They're buying these elections. They're just simply buying it. And the oil companies did that with the tax giveaway elections, Senate Bill 21. You know, they promised jobs. Give us the money, they said. The state doesn't need this. Give it to us. And 2 weeks after that happened, after they barely won the election, after outspending us 50-1, they laid off 400 people. And so I just think that this is the dynamic we're dealing with, these huge moneyed interests coming in and buying these elections. And I just want to thank Mark Begich for at least standing. He's the only one I see that's actually standing up for Stand for Salmon. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Alyssa.
Quentin?
Yes.
Are you reading?
Quentin.
All right. Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor. For the record, my name is Alyssa Quentin. I've grown up here in Fairbanks since I was six, and I'm going to put myself out here. I am the community organizer here in the interior for the Alaska Center and for Stand for Salmon, but I'm representing myself today. I'm not really here to talk about the facts. I'm not really here to tell you all the wonderful things specifically about the ballot initiative language, because that has already been well-published, well-debated, well-legislated, well enough. It's kind of like hooking a dead fish on a hooking a dead fish at this point. But what I will speak to is why I work on this campaign and why I continue every single day. And that's the people. I want to recognize this land here as the Lower Tanana peoples, Chena Dene people. And why I do that is that I recognize that we are a community, and we need to understand our history. We need to understand our cultures and the importance of what that means as a society together. And I have the pleasure of working with so many different partners and organizations, and that is really what I want to speak to. You have already been to many different communities around the state, and overwhelmingly, they have supported this initiative. Over 50,000 people in the state have supported this initiative. They had signed for this to be on the ballot. We, as constituents, as residents, have told you and this administration that this is important to us, and we deserve a seat at the table, and this is exactly what this initiative does. So if this will bring anything to this administration, just to give a perspective, Fairbanks, we vote yes, and we are going to continue to work together afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Alyssa. Fran Maher.
Good afternoon. My name is Fran Maher. I'm a 47-year Alaskan, and I live here in Fairbanks. Following the Fairbanks flood of 1967, there was a plan to build a dam and reservoir on the Chena River. It would have blocked salmon migration and have downstream impacts to spawning areas below the dam. At the time, I was employed to help map salmon spawning areas of the Chena. Thankfully, that plan was not adopted. And today we have a more thoughtful control structure that allows salmon to migrate past, except in limited flood times. This has allowed the Chena to remain the most important king salmon spawning area in the entire Yukon system. I support this proposition, Stand for Salmon, because it will allow a similar, careful development that protects our valuable salmon resources. These precautions are the responsible way to go, and we need some such protections, or Alaska will ultimately go the way of the Pacific Northwest, which is now in a greatly impoverished salmon resource. So I say vote yes and support this proposition. Thank you.
Thank you. Joyce Potter.
Joyce Potter, 2190 Cripple Creek Road. I first came to Alaska in 1956, living in Ketchikan with my parents until my dad was transferred shortly after Alaska became a state. In the winter of 1970-71, I returned to Alaska with U.S. Public Health Service as a public health nurse, serving in both Tanana and Bethel in what were then BIA hospitals and traveling throughout the surrounding villages. In 1973, I moved to Fairbanks, where I have resided ever since, working, marrying, raising a family, hiking, fishing, birding throughout the state. I'm on the board of Arctic Audubon and an active member of the Interfaith Working Group of the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition. Salmon is a vital part of what keeps Alaska healthy, happy, and productive. Care and concern for the environment is vital to the survival of our many peoples, cultures, our health, and our economic future. We need to strengthen our science-based standards and common sense protections for our water, our air, and our ability to feed ourselves, raise and educate our next generations, and keep our economy strong and independent. The common good of all Alaskans should always take precedence over the desires of a few of the wealthiest corporations intent on lessening the protections and standards for our air, water, and lands to suit their own needs, irregardless of the damage they do to our environment, our economy, our peoples, and our cultures. Allowing mining corporations to define our standards, impact our livelihoods and communities without our input, without good science and care and concern for all creation, is unethical, to say nothing about being unwise. We need to strengthen our laws and work to protect our environment. I will be voting yes. I stand for salmon, for the environment, and protecting our lands, our waters, our health, and the welfare of all Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you, Joyce. Mike Musick.
My name is Mike Musick. I'm from Esther. Long-time resident. Came up with my father when he was stationed at Eielson in 1955 and then later transferred to LAD Air Force Base in 56. And I've been on my own here since 1961. My first job was surveying from Hurricane Gulch up to what became Glitter Gulch. Little did I know what we were unleashing on that environment there through the canyon. And I think with a little bit tighter regulation, we could have done a lot better. As Alaskans, I believe we need to take every effort possible to be sure that the development that is necessary is done as well as we can, particularly for future generations. Last time I was at Chitna catching salmon, in the course of a day, I caught a couple of beautiful kinks. Of course, you have to let them go, but I was happy to let them go, to make it upstream and make more baby salmon. And I think all Alaskans should be part of that cycle to encourage the return of this renewable resource that has sustained populations here for generations and hopefully for generations to come. So I would say vote yes on this, and let's work out the details as Alaskans. So stand for salmon, but stand for Alaska at the same time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Will Collingwood.
My name is Will Collingwood, and I work at the Fort Knox Mine in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I oppose ballot measure one. I moved to Alaska in 2010 to attend graduate school at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I fell in love with Alaska, and I hope I never have to leave. I empathize with the fear that fishermen must feel in a changing climate. I, too, felt a sense of dread as I watched the low salmon returns in the Copper River this year. I researched the issue, and every source I could find said that the problem was in the ocean and not our freshwater habitats. While I appreciate the worries that fishermen feel, please understand that many other Alaskans also fear for their future when they see another set of sweeping regulation changes on the horizon. My ability to live, work, and play in this great state depends upon continued opportunities for responsible resource development. The same holds true for many other Alaskans who work in construction, in the oil fields, who operate utilities, who harvest timber, or who benefit from each of these activities. Every major mine in Alaska operates in close proximity to fish habitat. Fort Knox, where I work, has created one of the finest grayling habitats in the state in close proximity to our active mine site. The science shows that there has been no adverse effect to fish populations from operating mines in Alaska. You don't have to take my word for it. You can go online and read the annual reports, many of which come right from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. In conclusion, I believe the existing process is working. Let's all work together instead of pitting Alaskans against each other. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Will. Kara Moriarty.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Kara Moriarty, and I'm the president and CEO of the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. We are a professional trade association that represents the majority of production, exploration, refining, and transporting of oil and gas in the state of Alaska. Our industry accounts for over 110,000 year-round jobs in Alaska that are generated by billions of dollars of annual spending. In 2016, the industry created over $6 billion in wages and over $2.8 billion in revenue to state and local governments. ConocoPhillips alone spends money with over 870 Alaska businesses. Our membership is opposed to this eight-page initiative, not because we're against salmon. All of us as Alaskans want to fish for salmon. Our family has been fortunate to fly all around this beautiful state to fish in regions from Kotzebue to Cordova to fish. But this initiative has many unintended consequences. For example, there is no grandfathering provision, so the 40-year Trans-Alaska pipeline would fall under this initiative. And there, President and CEO has said, if the Fish Habitat Initiative were to become law, it would be all but impossible for TAPS to renew several projects and authorizations that are crucial to its continued function. Alyeska has over 700 fish habitat permits today. The head of the AKLNG has said it would be virtually impossible to permit new projects such as that. If changes are necessary, we would urge proponents to use the public process. Initiatives allow for only an up or down vote. There is no opportunity to amend or make changes. We all want salmon, but this is not about fish or oil. We urge people to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you. Chad Hutchison.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Chad Hutchison. I'm here on the behalf of Senator John Coghill of Fairbanks. I myself am born and raised in Fairbanks, and we're going to look at a few of the things that we see as it relates to some of the outstanding constitutional issues as it relates to the Supreme Court opinion. A very important page is page 32, and there's a footnote, footnote 75, and it talks about how if the ballot measure passes, there may be future cases in which the provisions could be successful to a successful as-applied constitutional challenge. And what they stated in the revised version of the ballot after they threw out the unconstitutional provisions is that it may be facially constitutional, but as applied, it is unconstitutional. And so some of the things that we consider if we're looking at an as-applied future constitutional challenge to the ballot initiative, if it passes, is potential violations to Article 8, Sections 1, and Article 8, Sections 2. You think about Article 8, Section 1, and essentially what you have is the salmon initiative and salmon as a natural resource being elevated over all other competing uses as it relates to the use of navigable waters and state-adjacent land. There is an effect that will certainly occur on state lands adjacent to navigable waters if there is a heightened permitting process related to the salmon in the streams. You also think about Article 8, Sections 2, which the proponent of the initiative Vote Yes on 1 stated and stated correctly that the legislature is actually, pursuant to the public trust doctrine, the trustees are supposed to make determinations as to natural resource allocations. Lieutenant Governor, your staff did a good job of stating that in the defense of the initiative as it went forward and through the process. And that's something that it may in the future, if I could have a few 15 more seconds.
Sure.
That may be something that would be subject to challenge on a case-by-case basis at some point in time in the future. So it's something to be considerate of. The constitutional issues have not been fully resolved, and that's why we'd encourage people to vote no on one. Thank you.
Thank you. Gina Pope. Get started before he turns it on.
Last week, Joey Henry saw Shietzi, Geneva. We returned from a trip up a creek where we camped for 18 days, and it took us 4 days of traveling in an open flat bottom boat with a 25 horse, and these are non-navigable waters, but it was real high. So we put up dry meat, and then we headed downriver, stopping by a gravel bar to make a fire for tea. What we saw there on the gravel bar was both revealing and fulfilling. Unmistakably out here where we least expected this was the head, jaw, and backbone of Hluk Cho. And the Hluk Cho is special because not only is it in danger, it travels in from the open sea. It can travel all the way through the Yukon Flats, and it's tasty. It's in danger, like I said. It travels to the First Nation people on both sides of the border. We found a spawned carcass. They're up there spawning where we least expected it, 280 river miles from the Yukon upriver. Four tributaries where we least expected it, and she took a picture. I grew up where salmon are very abundant, and I thought I could spot where they are, but I did not expect this. And I know the local people understand that there are salmon up there, and there's people going up to research what the locals already know. There's salmon spawning up there. And I wanted to read this. Okay. Change is constant with the seasons, but the loss of salmon would not be a good change. Bears, eagles, wolves, seals, otters, and many others depend on salmon, all of which spawn inland. The willows the moose eat, the berries on the tundra, they'd all suffer without salmon, but it's not just the animals that will suffer. Man will suffer, and we should not be left to clean up after foreign mining companies, as it says in that book. Management cannot be left to non-wildlifers. We cannot let our homelands fall into the hands of businesses like BP, ConocoPhillips, Donlin Gold, ExxonMobil, or the Pebble Partnership. We stand with the wildlifers, Trout Unlimited, the Alaska Center, the Cook Inlet Keeper, and the United Tribes of Bristol Bay. These are all local people in Alaska telling you what we want. Thank you.
Thank you. Lou Brown.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Lou Brown. I live here in Fairbanks. I'm a 30-year resident this year. Alaska is in the enviable position of having some of the last robust salmon runs in the nation. In the midst of a federal push to reduce environmental regulation, the success or failure of Ballot Measure 1 could determine the future of salmon, a world-class natural resource of which we should be justly proud and fiercely protective. All people in Alaska are connected to salmon in one way or another, especially in rural villages where more than a third of the state's population lives. Salmon are at the heart of a complex network of cultural, nutritional, and economic ties. Salmon is also critically important to Alaska's economic future, in which it contributed more than $3.27 billion to the seafood export industry. Most places in the U.S. that once had thriving salmon populations have lost them to development, climate change, and other factors. But Alaska's salmon remain, for the most part, still abundant. Protecting salmon habitat is one way the state can help salmon continue to thrive. While Alaska's current regulations do require consideration of salmon, they don't include much detail on how to do that. The state Fish and Game Commissioner can deny a permit for development in a salmon stream if the project plans are, quote, insufficient for the proper protection of fish and game. But the statute doesn't define what that means. This ballot measure would clarify the law by listing the factors that should be maintained to protect salmon habitat, including water quality and temperature, seasonal flooding, and riverbank stability. The measure also creates different permitting paths for different size projects. Once salmon streams are gone, they are gone forever. Ballot Measure 1 offers the kind of two-tier system that recognizes that not all projects are the same. Thank you for considering my thoughts on this very important matter.
Thank you. Janet Kidd?
Good afternoon. I'm a 37-year Fairbanks resident, and I'm testifying today in support of Ballot Measure 1 because I think it's important for the public to know that the current regulations we have governing Alaska's waters are not adequate. I have three examples that speak to this concern. We have at least one active mine in Alaska that will require monitoring and treatment of its mine discharge in perpetuity. So long after the mine closes, someone will have to go out there and monitor and treat the water before it is discharged to natural waters downstream. This is a tremendous liability to the state and Alaskans. What happens if the mining company files for bankruptcy? Mine bonds are typically so low that they rarely cover all of the environmental management associated with mine closure. So the state may find itself on the hook for making sure this regular monitoring and treatment is conducted. I suspect the proposed Pelham mine also will face a similar fate. Last I checked, it will have a tailings pond, and discharge from the pond will have to be treated before it is released. Do we really want to be permitting projects that will require environmental management essentially forever? A number of oil spills occurred in Prudhoe Bay in association with leaking pipelines symptomatic of aging infrastructure that was not properly maintained. Although a flurry of activity ensued as a result of the spills, pipeline replacement, better monitoring, it would have been preferable for this to have happened before the pipelines failed. Better oversight of operations by the state's land manager, DNR, may have helped facilitate better pipeline management. I think there are good folks that work for the resource agencies. I'm not complaining about that. I'm just talking about leaving the policing of the oil fields to industry. We have now gotten a glimpse of how that worked out. Locally, we have dozens of homes in North Pole that had to abandon their wells and be tied into city water after it was discovered the wells were contaminated with a chemical that entered the groundwater from the now-closed Flint Hills refinery. Again, it appears that state agencies did not have the resources they needed to provide better oversight. I don't know if Ballot Measure 1 will solve these types of problems, but at least it's an acknowledgement that we have now that we have to protect Alaska's aquatic resources better than we have. I just want to say that, you know, there's been some fear-mongering in the Vote No campaign, and my comment regarding prohibitive costs associated with better oversight is, are we willing to continue to turn a blind eye to the environmental impacts of projects just so we get more jobs and revenue? Not a great legacy to leave for future generations. Thank you.
Thank you. Sharon Alden.
Okay, my name is Sharon Alden. I live in Fairbanks. I moved up here 29 years ago. I've really been inspired and humbled by the words of a few of the others here today, especially regarding the dumpster book on wildlife. But I'm probably not going to say anything people don't know. Salmon are amazing. They start in our rivers and streams, and they leave, go to the ocean for several years and return. And when they return, they bring the resources from the ocean with them. As somebody also mentioned, people eat them, of course, but also bears, wolves, otters, many different animals, and those nutrients that they bring up from the ocean end up feeding our plants and trees. This is really an amazing cycle, an amazing bringing of the resources from the ocean into the interior of Alaska. The salmon are in trouble worldwide. Many fisheries have collapsed, and they're still doing okay in Alaska, but we know there have been problems. And a lot of that, yes, of course, has to do with changes in our ocean. Changes in our ocean brought about by anthropogenic climate change, which is attributed to fossil fuel burning. But kind of that aside, we need to take care of what we can take care of. And protecting our salmon spawning streams and our waters is crucial. It would be foolish not to do what we can. Sort of my one last thing is, what would Alaska be without the salmon? What is Alaska without her salmon? Thank you.
Thank you. Ayler Taipeo?
I'm impressed you pronounced it correctly.
Wow.
If you do.
I'm impressed too.
So, hello, my name is Taylor Taipeo, and I oppose ballot measure one. I've lived and worked in Alaska for about 7 years now. I am currently a professional mining and mineral processing engineer registered in the state of Alaska, and I currently work at the Fort Knox gold mine. There are many reasons I will be voting no on ballot measure one. I'll share two of them with you. First reason I oppose measure one is because I believe in the personal property rights and freedom of all landowners. In the case of state and federal lands, these are communal assets of the people given into the care of the government, with intent that these lands may be developed and used for the benefit of all citizens. This measure seeks to infringe on both these personal and community rights through the creation of new and burdensome regulations. The result seeks to stop development by humans in Alaska in favor of fish in Alaska, even in some cases if the fish are not in the area of development. My second reason for opposing this measure is the financial burden this measure would create. As Alaskans, you all know that the state budget has been a hot topic for the last few years. This measure only adds more fuel to the fire of state spending and provides no tangible benefits to Alaskans. I ask, how can we prosper as Alaskans if our state resources are being devoted to tying the hands of the regulators and then asking them to do more with less? To be clear, by no means am I opposed to preserving and promoting the stewardship of our natural resources here in Alaska. However, I know that Alaska already has the required measures in place to promote responsible development without ballot measure one. So, thank you.
Thank you. Carrie Stevens.
Good afternoon, and thank all of you. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. I very much respect you, your work, and the choices you have to make, and the choices that everyone in this room has to make for the future of Alaska. I believe in Alaska, in the future, that embodies equity, that embodies justice, that embodies fairness. that embodies stewardship, that embodies true democracy. I believe in balance and promoting all of those things is what I've dedicated my life to. Maybe I do that well some days, maybe I don't. We heard about balance earlier. Do we have balance? Do we have equity? Our fisher people across this state are marginalized, criminalized. Cry. That has moved me and motivated me. There are 400 pages of fishing regulations. 400 pages. There is half a page for habitat protection. That is not balance. That is not equity. The system needs to be corrected and updated. And I respectfully ask that it is. If the legislature did their job, we wouldn't be here. We need public process. I stand for salmon. Standing for salmon is standing for equity, justice, democracy, public process. If we're going to do something, we should do it right. If we're going to develop, we need to. I use oil. We need to do it right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Paul Richards.
I'm Paul Reichardt, and I've lived in Fairbanks for 46 years. You were? Yeah. Good try. I've heard worse. My wife and I eat salmon two or three times a week, year-round. We go to the Chitna personal use fishery each year, and I spend as much time as I can with my fishing rod on the Golcana and Clutina rivers during the rest of the salmon runs. I look forward to casting an enthusiastic yes on Proposition 1 this November. I believe that passing Prop 1 is an essential step in preserving salmon, which in my mind is beyond our children, the state's most important natural resource, one that is sustainable, economically important, recreationally important, and culturally important. The recent decline of returns of salmon to their spawning grounds makes this a critical time for strengthening our approaches to proper management. The mounting evidence that there are salmon-related problems in the open oceans, where we have little chance to exert control or even influence, makes it an opportune and essential time to strengthen our approaches to managing the relevant freshwater habitats over which we do have some degree of control. Prop 1 does just that by bringing clarity and transparency to the intent of 60-year-old statutes. It provides a reasonable and necessary framework for assessing proposed development projects that could impact the health of salmon populations. While Prop 1 may complicate the permitting process, I am really skeptical that the speculation about it killing jobs and strangling Alaska's economy is anywhere near reality. We all have a choice in November. We can vote no on Prop 1, as we're encouraged to by the likes of ConocoPhillips, BP, ExxonMobil, and Donlin Gold. Or we can vote yes and join with over 40,000 Alaskans who signed the petition to get Proposition 1 on the ballot. Now it's our chance to stand for salmon.
Thank you. John Gadecki.
Good afternoon. Thanks for pronouncing my name correctly. John Gadecki. I'm born and raised here in Fairbanks. And I would like to voice my support for Proposition 1. I think in being born and raised here in Fairbanks, I have friends I go moose hunting with from Yucca Valley Coal Mine, friends from college who work at Fort Knox. Mining industry, oil industry is an inherent part of the state. But I think that this concept that regulations make things impossible is a strange idea. Virtually everything we do in Alaska is impossible. I mean, when I was a little kid, I stood out at the bus in 65 below. That seems, you know, not possible. But we do all these things here in Alaska, and I think that mystique of having this Alaska that's protected and the environment that's looked after is something that we should steward. And the reality is that there are major corporations moving into this state, and while I have these friends working in the industry, they're not the ones making the big decisions. They're not the ones footing the bill for these incoming industries. And this idea that more regulations are burdensome to the state is laughable to me. Right now, in the area where my family has a business in the Brooks Range, industry is asking the state to pay for what could be a $1 billion road, and they have no problem putting their hand out for that money. And so I think that protecting the salmon for all Alaskans and protecting the waterways, I take people out in tourism all the time, and they can't believe that we can still drink the water, that we have real fish here that aren't planted, and that they can breathe air and watch clean sunsets. They're not colored sunsets by pollution. That you can't tell what factory is running around here by the smell in the air like you can in Louisiana and other places I have clients coming from. So I appreciate this Proposition 1 and the idea that Alaskans are sticking up. It's literally a citizen's initiative. And when you look at who's pushing against this, it's the big corporations. And it was the big corporations here in Fairbanks that made it so that Sam's Club disappeared overnight and good friends lost their jobs there with as much notice as I had in the parking lot. So I support Proposition 1. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Gail K. Vick.
Thank you. My name is Gail Vick. I live in Fairbanks. I am a 50-year resident, and I have fished Alaska for sports, commercial, and subsistence. My business is fisheries policy, working with tribes, agencies, and scientists. I currently work on the Yukon River watershed. Alaska is the last bastion of wild salmon in the entire world, not just America, and we are facing serious trouble. Anyone who thinks salmon in Alaska can survive our hubris has not noticed the size reductions, has not seen the trajectories of declines, has not asked the right questions. There are two things we must accept. Salmon are not sufficiently protected in the state. Politics changes the landscape of both science and management all the time. And second, enhancement is not an alternative. We have one way to protect our most valuable natural resource, by commitment to salmon protections coming first, not as an afterthought, not as a convenience, not as lip service, but as a hardcore reality. This is not an either-or situation. I am old enough to remember pre-pipeline days and the fierce and epic battles that we had that forced environmental compromises. The arguments you are hearing about the dire conditions that will occur if ballot measure number one is passed are the same arguments we heard before we built the most massive pipeline in history. Those arguments were bogus then, and they are bogus now. Salmon and development can coexist, but salmon will lose if both managers and developers do not have the regulatory structure they need to provide for sufficient protections to wild salmon passage and spawning habitat. Ballot Measure 1 is a critical step in that protection, even though it may cost us a few more steps in a regulatory process. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. Emily Main.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Emily, and I work for the Stand for Salmon campaign. I am testifying before this panel today and fellow Alaskans as one who believes that ballot measure one sustains salmon habitat and preservation for Alaska's natural environment. First, the Yes for Salmon ballot initiative represents the collective voices of Alaskans across the state as seen by the unprecedented number of signatures gathered just to get on the ballot. Voting yes in November is voting yes for evidence-based and reasonable updates for Title 16 high-impact mining permits, such as those that mines like Fort Knox apply for new development. Measure 1 was written by Alaskans for Alaskans with input from Alaska Native leaders and fishermen. Second, voting yes on voting yes on one is designed to permit and greenlight projects in a way that protects salmon and ensures responsible development. By updating the law this way, we ensure continuous protection to salmon habitat, allowing for sustained salmon harvest and a strong Alaskan economy. Third, Voting yes on one will ensure that minor impact projects such as roads across the interior are built to protect salmon habitat by backing up the current salmon issuance, or current standards of issuance. Specifically to this example on roads, voting yes ensures that ADFNG, an authority to maintain fish passage through the installation of fish-friendly bridges and culverts. For projects that have a potentially high impact to salmon habitat, ADFNG will be granted the support from the law itself to ensure new projects will have a plan to minimize damage and follow through on that plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Susan Hansen.
Hi, my name is Susan Hansen, and I'm a longtime resident of Fairbanks, but I worked for quite a while in Yupik Eskimo villages in the YK Delta, and they heavily depend on salmon. And while I was there, they told me about old contamination on the Kuskokwim River, mercury, arsenic and antimony contamination from a former mine called Red Devil. And that was opened in, I think, 1970 or so. And this, in their opinion, still affects their health. They believe that they have higher cancer rates from the contamination from the Kuskokwim River that came from the Red Devil mine. And I support Stand for Salmon. I think we need better regulations, and we need to protect the salmon runs as well as the health of the people who depend on salmon. So I support Stand for Salmon.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Alexandra Calavo.
Ready? Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Alexandra Cacavo. I am a homeowner and resident in North Pole, Alaska. I chose to live near the Chena Lake State Recreation Area to avoid pollution, and I love living where I live. I'm employed by the school district in the winter and by one of the state's largest tourism companies in the summer. I, like 1.1 million tourists who come to Alaska each year, came to Alaska for its unspoiled wilderness. I love that before entering Broad Pass, I can point out the witch's hair lichen hanging off the spruce trees and tell them that it indicates the purity of our air. And I love hearing the oohs and ahs as we cross over the Indian River on the Alaska Railroad. And it's a real pleasure to show this state to people who came here for that unspoiled wilderness. I'm speaking today in support of Ballot Measure 1, and I'll keep it short. You may be aware that this year marks the 50th anniversary of the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act. Of Alaska's 365,000 miles of river, only 3,210 miles of them are protected from any form of development, and none of those are found along our state's major tourist route, the Seward, Glen, and Parks highways. And this act would change that and increase the amount of the miles of rivers that are protected from further development of any kind. I urge Alaskan voters to think ahead and protect the number 2 and 3 sustainable industries in Alaska's economy, fishing and tourism. Protect this amazing state from money-hungry corporations. The Alaska DOT makes what seems like a compelling argument about the additional time and obstacles that projects will face if the act is voted into law, but I say let those large global corporations pay the price to do their research and go through a thorough permit process. I would like to thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for your time, and I would also like to thank the sponsors of this bill. Thank you.
Isaiah Nikolai?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello. I'm Isaiah. I was born and raised in Alaska, and so are my parents, and so are theirs. So I feel a strong dedication towards this state and the preservation of its wildlife. salmon has been part of my life for as long as I can remember and part of my culture for many generations. And I want Alaskan wild salmon to be enjoyed for many more generations. I'm not against mining or development. However, I am against those who take advantage of the vagueness of Title 16 and is irresponsible towards the habitats that surround their project. This proposition is a way to update the vagueness of that law and ensure that salmon have common sense protections and is available for the long future. Also, I heard in a previous comment that there was no grandfather clock clause, but in fact, on the last page of the proposition, Section 1605 scope, the provisions of this act do not apply to existing activities, operations, or facilities that has received all required federal, state, and local permits, authorizations, licenses, and approvals for activities adversely affecting anadromous fish habitat on or before the effective date of this act until expiration or termination of the user's permit, authorization, license, or approval. And this will also increase government transparency, requiring public notification and ensuring our public comment period continues so that we know what's happening to our salmon habitats in our state and we have our voices heard like we do today. Thank you.
Thank you, Isaiah. Barkley Kitchen? Missed that one by a mile.
That's okay. That's all right. It's my writing. So, my name is Bartley Clevin. I'm the environmental manager at Kinross Fort Knox. I'm opposed to ballot measure one as it will not improve fish protection, but it will prevent responsible resource development, transportation projects, and public works facilities in our state. Make no mistake, I support salmon. I grew up in Alaska. I've lived in Alaska my whole life. I spent my summers on the Kenai River. Now I take my kids fishing. Last night we had salmon for dinner. Ballot measure one has been proposed as a way to fix a problem we do not have. Our current fish protection regulations are strict, science-based, and effective. This is proven out by our strong fish counts leaving the state. The numbers are down coming in. We know that. But that is a problem occurring in the ocean. We all recognize that, and it's not occurring in Alaska's rivers. Fort Knox is a prime example of how natural resource development and fish habitat can not only coexist but prosper. This was done under our current regulatory system, working hand in hand with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Under ballot measure one, Fort Knox would not have been permittable. If passed, ballot measure one will shorten the life of Fort Knox. Even if our permits are grandfathered under the old rules, those same permits must be renewed, usually about every 5 years. Renewed permits must comply with current regulation. That's how that works. And that's why the grandfathering does not work for our existing permits. I'll cut it short. I'm just going to leave it that ballot measure would be a bad idea for our state. And it also has some unintended consequences for our salmon that we don't have time to get into today. But I think that should also be recognized.
Thank you. Jessica Blair? I'm sorry. Okay. Keith Ahrens?
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. My name is Keith Ahrens. I'm the health and safety manager at Fort Knox Gold Mine. I moved to Alaska over 20 years ago because I love the outdoors and wild spaces. My wife and I take great pride in the fact that we also have instilled this love of the vast resources our state has to offer to our children. I'm opposed to ballot measure one because it's not based on facts or science. It was poorly written in private without public review and comment. To me, this shows that the authors and backers of this measure are being secretive and misleading. The supporters of this measure are misguided and only have their own agenda in mind and not those of us who live in the state. I believe if this measure were to pass, it will negatively affect my family and the entire future of the state of Alaska. My family and I stand for Alaska, along with many others in this great state, because we already have proven effective science-based habitat protections. We do not need outsiders coming into our home trying to manage our resources for us. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Stephanie Quinn Davidson. Stephanie read the position on behalf of Stand for Salmon. This time she is testifying on behalf of Tanana Chiefs.
That's correct. Thank you for the record. I'm Dr. Stephanie Quinn Davidson. I work with Tanana Chiefs Conference doing fisheries policy and advocacy for them. Tanana Chiefs Conference represents 37 federally recognized tribes and a total of 42 communities in interior Alaska. Tanana Chiefs is committed to a full strategy for increasing salmon returns, which includes building river-wide consensus on in-season management, using science-based management in fisheries, adapting to changes in the environment, and advocating for salmon habitat protection. The Tanana Chiefs' full board of directors passed a resolution at our March 2018 convention to support the Stand for Salmon initiative, now known as Ballot Measure 1, which will improve the chance for stronger salmon returns for future generations. In interior Alaska, the burden of protecting and rebuilding the king salmon run should not lie solely on families who year after year have less kings to put away. We need developers to be our partners in protecting this resource and the habitat that supports this essential resource. We need clear scientific standards defined that we will know that will help salmon thrive, and we need a public process where our tribes and communities have a say in what is happening on traditional lands and waters. We need a law that will protect all of our salmon streams. Ballot Measure 1 is the balance we need in Alaska. It will provide for reasonable development that is balanced with habitat protections that will ensure salmon are around for our future generations. Ballot Measure 1 will not impact our tribes and communities' abilities to move forward with important infrastructure projects like updates to roads, washage areas, airport runways, and more in our communities. To qualify for a major permit, the one that requires more time and review, your project has to have significant adverse impacts to salmon habitat, and the vast majority of the communities along the Yukon are on the main stem river, and to have a significant and adverse impact, you'd basically have to dam up the whole river, and none of our tribes or communities want to do that. Salmon and economic development are both very important to our tribes and interior communities, our way of life, and our well-being. A yes vote on Ballot Measure 1 will allow Alaska to sustain healthy salmon runs for our grandchildren's children while moving forward with responsible development. Thank you.
Thank you. Anna Atchison.
Thank you for the time to testify today in opposition to Ballot Measure 1. I'm Anna Atchison with Kinross Fort Knox, and I'm here representing our 630 local miners who have safely produced gold since 1996. I, like many that I work with, am a lifelong Alaskan. But we are perhaps best known for what we did before producing an ounce of gold. Directly adjacent to what today is a modern mine, there exists a series of wetlands and ponds in the Fish Creek Valley. The valley had been mined many times over the decades, dating back to the turn of the century when mining practices were not what they are today. The water body was considered impaired by the EPA, and the grayling and burbot populations were in complete distress. And then Fort Knox voluntarily stepped in partnership with the state. We rehabilitated the wetlands, and an ecosystem that was thought to take 10 years to reclaim itself instead rebounded with enthusiasm in just a few years. This act represents our firm commitment to doing things right. The permitting process in Alaska is stringent. Fort Knox currently manages 84 permits a year. Nearly 10% of those are fish habitat permits. The renewal of permits in order to keep mining is not an easy thing. It is recurrent, it is complex, and as it should, it requires that mining companies have a lot of skin in the game. But Ballot Measure 1 takes this existing stringent process and it aims to convert it into a project killer. Let's take our recent expansion of 10 years mine life, an expansion well supported and celebrated in this state and this community. Under Ballot Measure 1, without any doubt, we would not have been successful in extending our mine lives and the corresponding jobs and benefits to the community. We would have not extended it. The overwhelming increase in costs and delays imposed by the measure would have made it impossible. We must defeat this measure. Thank you.
Thank you. Wendy McNaughton.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. For the record, my name is Wendy McNaughton. I am a 27-year resident of Alaska. I was raised here, and I'm currently raising my family here. I'm also employed by Pogo Mine, and I stand for Alaska in opposition to Ballot Measure 1. Ballot Measure 1 would jeopardize not only new development projects, but also existing ones like Pogo Mine. Pogo currently has 320 employees and about 150 contractors and creates about $44 million in revenue for our states. Ballot Measure 1 threatens the future of that project. Ballot Measure 1 does not solve problems, it creates problems. The ballot measure is very vague and deceptive, which will lead to extensive litigation and project delays and closures, all while not solving the real problems facing Alaska salmon. I think the conflicting statements that we've heard here today is evidence of the ambiguous bill. This poorly written ballot measure will prevent us from making better policies in the future, policies that make sense for Alaska. We can have a healthy economy, responsibly develop Alaska, and maintain strong salmon protections. This ballot measure does not accomplish that goal. I urge you to vote no on ballot measure 1 on November 6th.
Thank you. Luke Cashman.
Hello, my name is Luke. I work for the Stand for Salmon campaign. I work towards updating the state law around ADF&G fish habitat permitting because it's our duty to ensure that the responsible decision-making continues. We want to make sure that the law reflects and backs up the current interpretation of the VAG law today. The problem is it's so funny, just following up from the last point, that the issue is with vague language, because ours is too, just because the current language is so short and so vague that everything is an interpretation, which leads to danger. And so we can, by updating this language, we can just ensure the continuing success of a strong salmon habitat as well as responsible development. Echoing a lot of other statements today, of course, we just want to make sure that the language of the ballot, Measure 1 is well-crafted as it protects sound science when defining what is a healthy salmon habitat. As far as adding time to the permit, from my point of view, this does not add time to the permit process overall, simply because, as has been cited by many, many, many people during this long process, there are lots and lots of permits for people to go for. Adding time to one permit doesn't add time to the entirety of the permitting process, just because there are so many that go on simultaneously. So adding time to that process doesn't seem like a fair argument, adding time to one permit. So if navigating this process anyway, we want to make sure that this permit in particular, the Title 16, has strong language in the law to back up the current processing of these permits, just to make sure that our salmon habitat is around for generations to come. Vote yes on one.
Thank you. For some reason, I'm not able to even get close to pronouncing the first name. So, Ms. or Mr. Blatchford?
Hello. My name's Genesis. Genesis Blatchford. I'm from Unalakleet, Alaska.
Sorry, would you repeat your first name again?
Genesis.
Genesis. Thank you.
Before I start speaking, I'd like to recognize that we're on the lands of the Diné people. Uvana atiga kasanwaguk akana akuluk apana atumik unalakhmi maga. My name is kasanwaguk. My mother is akuluk. My father is atumik, and I'm from Unalakleet, where the east wind blows, where salmon have been our resource since time immemorial. And I stand for salmon because I realize that there's are responsible developers, but historically, with projects surrounding oil, there are always accidents, and to this day, scars are still left. In the Bristol Bay, you could still go down and find oil sheen from Exxon Valdez over 25 years ago. And I believe that with the opening of oil development in Anwar and the Arctic, I believe that this ballot would be a great thing to have so there are enforceable protections for our salmon. Thank you.
Thank you. Genesis, could you just very briefly interpret what you said in your dialect?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went over it. My name is Gasan Wagok. That's my traditional name. My mother is Atumik, or not Atumik. My mother is Akaluk. My father is Atumik, and I'm from where the east wind blows, Unalaklik, Alaska.
Okay. Thank you. Joey Huntington.
Hello, Byron. Sorry, Lieutenant Governor. I had some fried...
I was looking at your mom and saying, why isn't she getting up?
I had some fried moose heart with your son yesterday morning, so it was good to see him. I just want to start my quick comments with saying that, you know, there's a lot of people that I care about and love on both sides of the issue and in the middle as well, and I just want to say that, as with all things, I think approaching this issue with love and compassion and kindness is very important. So that's kind of my approach, and I wanted to just bring that forward into kind of the space as well as we have these discussions. My dad was a gold miner, as not many people may know that. So I grew up at small placer gold mines, and my mom was the camp cook, and my brothers learned to run heavy equipment at a young age. So I've grown up, and my mom is also Quaycon Athabascan, as you know, and we're from a few different communities on the Yukon River, and I'm very proud of both aspects of my heritage. And so when issues like this come forward, that you have to sort of say yes or no, and I know that this is a complex issue that many people care about, and I'm one of them as well, I strongly disagree that we have to do this in a way where you either say yes or no, that it sort of becomes a black and white issue when it's really a lot more complex than that. And I feel that when decisions are kind of put into this place where it's a yes or no, I feel like that in and of itself manipulates the process and manipulates the people that have to then say either I'm with salmon or against salmon. And I think there's so many other paths that we could take as a state that does not produce this divisive scenario, which I really strongly am just, that's just not my way of doing things. And I think that as our communities have survived so many years working together and sharing in our cultural values, I think that that's always my approach. And so in this situation, yes, I believe improvements can be made. Is this the right way of doing it? I just don't feel that it is. I think we need to be fair, reasonable, and only do what's necessary. I could say a lot more, but I thank you for your time. It's great to see you here, and I respect everyone that's here today.
Thank you, Joy. Yeah. Tammy Wilson.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Tammy Wilson. Although I'm a state representative for North Pole, I'm here on my own behalf. I have very smart voters, and they'll make their decision at the polls. My concern is I voted on the statute that you mentioned earlier, and one part that I think is truly missing today is actually the state's view on the pros and cons that this will have on state government. I do appreciate the questions and answers, but at the very beginning of the disclaimer, it says, you know, if the initiative passes and is enacted into law, regulations would have to be adopted to implement the initiative, and agencies' ultimately interpretation of the law through the regulation process could change some of these answers, which tells me even the state doesn't know exactly what this will do. My other concern is one of the biggest changes in the creation of a tiered permitting process. We already have a complicated permitting process. How much more complicated will it get? It also states the ability to have a compliance schedule would depend on ADFNG fish and game interpretation of the initiative language. For example, it's unknown at this time what process and how long it would take. These are not my words. These are the answers from our own agencies. Another big concern, Department of Transportation we've heard from, increased cost in project delivery, delay in project delivery, The proposed ballot initiative language could restrict the following: culverts and inverts, riprap for erosion protection, and scour countermeasures, channel maintenance, and temporary construction activities. It's already hard to do construction here in the interior as we have a very cold time. The other part of it we heard, too, is about the cost, $1.3 million from Fish and Game, $282,000 for more personnel, Department of Transportation, $953,000, $450,000 for the Department of Law. Two additional full-time civil attorneys would be needed to perform the legal work this initiative would create, one attorney primarily focused on permitting and appeals. That's really concerning. And since I only have 15 seconds left, I really have only one question I wish the administration could answer. How will this ballot measure pass affect the ability of Alyeska to renew the pipeline permits, or could an unintended consequence be the shutdown of getting our oil to market? Thank you.
Thank you. Mark Huffington?
My name is Mark Huffington, and just 10 days ago, I celebrated my seven-year anniversary as an Alaskan resident and a Fort Knox mine employee. The initiative is poorly worded and one of the worst proposals I've seen in my 30-year environmental management career. This measure is not reasonable, responsible, and purposefully hinders and restricts any and all types of development in Alaska and negatively impacts the Alaskan economy. The supporters have you believe that this is only for the protection of salmon and salmon spawning waters, specifically the Pebble Mine, but it covers Alaskan waters and over 20 other fish species. Interesting enough, I had a young man from the lower 48, which incidentally was paid for by the Stand for Salmon folks, who came to my house uninvited to spread their mistruths about Measure 1. Well, it was interesting, he had no idea that over 20 other fish species were included in the initiative besides salmon. And he also stated that Stand for Salmon made agreements with Alaska Department of Transportation that this measure will not impact any transportation projects, which we all know is false. Measure 1 is general in nature and will have subjective interpretation for agency personnel and commissioner to enforce. Not only does it affect all Alaskans' industries such as mining, oil, forestry, fishing, tourism, construction, transportation, it negatively impacts all projects, large and small, in Alaskan cities, towns, villages, boroughs, and census areas, whether they are private, commercial, or public in nature. The measure may exempt current permitted projects and facilities. However, permits expire and must go through a renewal process. What then? Will a billion-dollar industry facility be shut down after 5 years of operation? There is no need to add non-scientific-based wildlife habitat standards, as Alaska maintains highly restrictive standards for wildlife sustainability. Contrary to Stand for Alaska's statements, all industry is held accountable to Alaska's strict environmental standards, which is evident in statutes, regulations, and permitting. In conclusion, I cast my no vote on ballot Measure 1, November 6. Thank you.
A drum roll, please. John Ringstad.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon. My name is John Ringstad. I'm a resident of Fairbanks. I was born about three-quarters of a mile here several years ago. This is an interesting discussion for me. I spent the summer of 1961 working in a gold mine in the same creek that I learned how to fish in. I've been publicly involved in our regulatory and permitting process for almost 40 years now. We have a system. It does work. I have been told numerous times for over the past several decades that we have one of the best systems in the United States. And it's not perfect, but it is a good system. I've seen it change numerous times, some of them small, some of them very significant. It is designed to change over time. That's what our laws do. That is our system of government. We don't need to go in, throw things out, and start over. We can continue to work this system. We will continue to make changes in our system. That's what we're supposed to do. It does work. I think we need to look at these things. We need to go at it over time. Nothing is going to be good today and good 100 years from now. We have to be flexible. We have to change. This is not the change we need. I think this is, although maybe well-intended, this is not a solution to anybody's problems. I think we're this is destined for failure in that it doesn't give any specific corrections. It doesn't do much but cause uncertainty for a number of years. I think we need to go back and say this is not the good public policy. It's not the right thing to do at this time. We need to figure out, as my friend Joy over here said, we need to figure out how to work on these issues together. We have done that, and we need to continue to do that. This is bad public policy. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Marissa Shara.
Very close. My name is Marissa Shara, and I'm the president and CEO of the Greater Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce, representing our 700 member businesses that have found their success operating their business in Fairbanks and across our great state. Our board of directors took an early position to oppose ballot measure one because of the negative and seemingly unintended consequences that would result from its passage. Our members are a group of business owners, managers, and dedicated employees and Alaskans that see the value in all of our natural resources. We represent all industries, including healthcare, travel, communications, retail, banking, manufacturing, transportation, insurance, and construction, and so many more. Many of us are hunters and fishermen and women, and we see the value of protecting the bounty of Alaska that includes our salmon. We have talked to regulators and permitters from the state that defend the work that they've done to apply our robust set of permitting guidelines and processes, and are proud of the work that they've done to enable development to flourish without compromising the ability of our salmon to be healthy and productive. We've heard from them that while, yes, they do see areas for improvement, they do not believe ballot measure one is an improvement over our current system. They also believe this initiative does not address the real problems that could occur in our where the conditions occur in our ocean. Here in Interior Alaska, we have many businesses that need to be able to permit projects that will lead to improved transportation infrastructure that increases our ability to continue to be a hub of economic activity that benefits not only our region, but our entire state. We don't want the future of our airports, roadways to be compromised because of this unvetted and unproven change to our permitting system. We want to continue to see the responsible resource development across Interior Alaska and the North Slope that produces high-paying jobs and increases opportunity for all Alaskans. These jobs are what keep Alaskans in the state and keep our population healthy, both in terms of individual financial health and numbers of residents. These jobs and the people that hold them are what foster a healthy business environment that communicates we, as a state, are in fact open for business. We want to continue to increase production of oil to fill the Trans-Alaska pipeline and increase its life and decrease the challenges created by low flow, and we don't want to see permit renewals for these critical pieces of our state's infrastructure like TAPS be jeopardized by failure to comply with new conditions that they're not currently designed or permitted for. The Chamber protects jobs, vital projects in rural and interior Alaska, both new and existing resource development projects, without undermining our Alaska Native corporations, the use of our lands, and create larger fiscal problems for our state as a whole. We encourage others to vote no. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Kevin McKinley. Kendall Powers.
All right. I'll make it short. I am Kendall Powers, born and raised in Alaska, and now I'm raising a fourth-generation Alaskan. Also, I'm a biologist, and like everybody here, we love salmon, we love the nature, and that's why we're in Alaska. And I support science-based natural resource management, which is why I support ballot initiative one, and also community support for projects going into different communities. So I will vote yes on one, and I encourage everybody else to do so.
Thank you. What is the name of our fourth generation Alaskan?
Nolan Brandt Power.
Nolan.
Yep.
Thank you. Benjamin Meyer.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking time to listen to all of us today. My name is Benjamin Meyer. I'm a lifelong Alaska resident. I'm a fisheries biologist. I've worked throughout Alaska in both the private and the public sector on freshwater habitat issues, and I'm here to testify today in support of Ballot Measure 1. I have 2 points to share. One is that both supporters and opponents of this issue really have a lot in common. A recent statewide poll by the firm DHM Research found that about 90% of Alaskans agree that salmon are an important part of their lives, one way or another. So we should keep that in mind as we are all really here with a common goal, which is to see that salmon are around for future generations of Alaskans. The second point I have to share is that throughout history and around the world, wild salmon populations have been lost almost everywhere. It falls upon us to do things differently in Alaska if we want different results, not just in the Pacific Northwest, but throughout the East Coast, New England. You can imagine revolutionary soldiers being fed by wild salmon. Medieval England, France, Ireland, Scandinavia, people there all once enjoyed the kinds of economic, ecological, and spiritual connections there that we do here today with wild salmon abundance. None of these places chose to have wild salmon disappear, but not enough people understood that carefully managing their habitat was important, and eventually almost all the salmon were completely gone. In most cases, they disappeared slowly in ways that each new generation of people assumed it was normal. No Alaskan wants that to be our future. I feel that ballot measure number one makes explicit our intentions as a society to ensure that salmon are around for future generations of Alaskans. The current law, the Anadromous Fish Act, or Title 16, says the ADF&G commissioner must ensure proper protection of fish and game when issuing a permit that destroys or impacts habitat. That's it. There's not a definition of proper protection. So I'm here to tell us today that salmon are a gift, and ballot measure one will help teach us how to give back as much salmon as they give to us. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Brooke Wright.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me very well? Okay. My name is Brooke Wright. I am from Rampart, a small fishing community on the Yukon River. I am a fisheries science student at UAF and the chair and commissioner of the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission, and I am here representing the Fish Commission. The Yukon River Fish Commission has committed to act with a unified voice for the conservation and restoration of the Yukon River salmon fisheries to protect our traditional ways of life and well-being. The Yukon River tribes have demonstrated commitment and sacrifice for the conservation and restoration of the Yukon River salmon. Salmon are critical and irreplaceable food source for Yukon River tribes, where traditional harvest foods account for 33% of their caloric intake and up to 60% of the protein consumed in rural Alaska is salmon. The Fish Commission supported a resolution to protect critical salmon spawning and rearing habitat at the annual meeting in 2016. The Fish Commission recognizes the economic and community development needed in rural Alaska for the tribes to thrive, but believe that development must be balanced with adequate protection that would reduce or mitigate negative or harmful impacts of salmon resources. The Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission believes that the current habitat laws are written in Title 16 are vague and open to interpretation with changing administration, creating uncertainty in the permitting process. The Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission in particular supports the initiative because it clearly defines the proper protection of fish and game and clarify important habitat characteristics to support salmon runs. In closing, I would like to say industry, current projects, and future projects will still be in existence, but they will have to be stewards just like we are and incorporate values that protect salmon and their habitat. Thank you.
Thank you, Brooke. Ben Stevens.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor. Thank you for this opportunity to share with you. My name is Ben Stevens. I am Koyokon Athabascan from Stevens Village, north of here, on the Yukon River. Our family has, for generations, relied upon Yukon River salmon for food throughout the winter. We weren't looking for
maybe the ability to pay for the lights or whatever. We look for basic sustenance to feed our family, friends, community. Over the past couple of decades, that has been compromised. There were some years where we went through absolutely nothing. We got no fish. Couldn't feed anybody. That prompted us to take matters into our own hands a lot of times. Conservation measures. There were times when we didn't fish because we wanted passage. That has been happening throughout the region and I think across the state. And so I think that if the people of the state of Alaska are sacrificing to that extent, that we need to meet them halfway. We've seen across the globe where people have had the opportunity to protect habitat and failed to do so knowingly. They looked around them and saw themselves without salmon. Alaska is this globe's last chance. We can't screw this up. I support Prop 1, and I would ask that everyone else does too. There's ways to address the issues of the opposition. I truly believe that we all need to support this proposition. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. This one, I have barely a clue. Jan?
My handwriting is terrible. Is it
okay.
Jan?
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 Yeah.
Hard name with a good, some bad handwriting is not a good combination.
Would you repeat your name, please?
Sure. My name is Jan Gzenda. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor and assembled Alaskans. My name is Jan, and I'm 23 years old. 23 of those I spent as an Alaskan resident. I've grown up here in Fairbanks and have traveled, worked, and played across the state my entire life. First, I would like to respectfully voice my distress at the particular timing of this meeting. A 2 o'clock start time with a 1:30 sign-up on this working day limits the voices heard today to those that can afford to be here. A yes vote on ballot measure 1 will put in place measures to protect one of our most important natural resources, salmon and other fish. It does little to halt or delay environmentally conscious extraction projects and will safeguard our future from those that lead to environmental catastrophe. We cannot continue to lean on the independent goodwill of individual corporations to plug in environmental holes in our laws. We can also not let them scare us into voting no by saying a yes vote on Measure 1 will take away jobs, the same thinly veiled threat that they use whenever something threatens their bottom line. Foreign corporations employ Alaskans to help extract oil, gold, and other minerals. They then ship those across the world, making millions to billions of dollars. As Alaskans, we need to stop acting like we are, doing them a favor for letting them make money. We must not sacrifice our renewable resources and cultural staples for short-term profits that flow in far too great a proportion out of our state. I'm sure everyone in this room has Alaska's best interests at heart, but the no campaign has created a false equivalency. A vote yes on this measure is a vote for salmon and for Alaska, and I urge you to vote yes on 1. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathy Walling.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for being here, Lieutenant Governor. My name is Kathy Walling, and I am a 30-year Alaskan resident. And when I first heard that Alaskans were concerned about our fish, our salmon, that they were going around the state to try to put forward this measure, it's like, well, that is such a wee situation. We all care about our salmon. It is the sustenance that we can all unite on. I couldn't imagine why anybody would be opposed. The earlier comments of the distress of this creating an us then energetic is one I can really relate to, because ultimately we are all Alaskans. We all need to eat, and we all love this place. And in the face of climate change, in this changing world that we're living in, we need to be really focusing on our regenerative economies they will outlast our extractive economies. Fish is renewable in ways that mining industries and oil industries are not. And for our future generations, thinking 3, 4, 7 down the pike, I can be assured that those people will still be eating. We can't be assured how we will be getting our energy and what our world will be like. But as the rule of threes tell us, we can live 3 minutes without air. We can live 3 days without water. And we can live 3 weeks without food. So if there's ever a time where we need to prioritize the regenerative over the extractive for the long-term sustainability of us all, we need to be supporting those industries. And for that reason, unfortunately, having gotten to this yes, no, us, them situation, we need to put those ahead of us. So please vote yes for the fish and for our long-term sustainability.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lachlan Gillespie.
Good afternoon. My name is Lachlan Gillespie. I was born and raised here in Fairbanks, and I'm the Clean Water and Mining Coordinator at the Northern Alaska Environmental Center. I'm here in support of ballot measure one. This measure provides a vital opportunity for Alaskans to give input on major projects that could impact anadromous fish and the ways of life they support, from subsistence to commercial fishing. The Donlin Gold Mine in the Kuskokwim River was recently waived through the permitting process with little more than a rubber stamp, despite findings of significant impacts upon fish habitat. There's currently no process in place for those whose lives will be impacted by the damages to salmon to weigh in on these permits. A decision like this that will affect the lives of people in the Kuskokwim for thousands of years was made with no input from those communities. When mining corporations develop on anadromous fish habitat and the project damages land and water, the taxpayers of Alaska should not be left holding the bill. This initiative would ensure that these developers be responsible for paying for costs associated with cleanup and would allow the Department of Fish and Game to issue fines and penalties to protect Alaska's fish. Ballot Measure 1 is a reasonable update to a law that has not been changed since statehood. This update would ensure science-based standards are in place to protect a cornerstone of Alaska's economy and culture. Ballot Measure 1 gives Alaskans a voice in projects that directly impact not just their livelihoods, but their ability to put fish on the table. Thank you.
Thank you. James Simon.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, and for everyone else here. For the record, my name is Dr. Jim Simon. I own and operate a small anthropological consulting company that provides professional services to a number of organizations and programs throughout rural Alaska. However, this testimony represents only my personal views and opinions. While I now live along the Tanana River near Salta and Birch Lake, my relationships with salmon began as a small child in the Copper River Valley in south-central Alaska before my age of remembering. I've grown up with salmon as part of my life and diet. Since adulthood, salmon have been part of my professional career as an anthropologist for the past 30 years. For example, I spent more than 14 years in state service as the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Division of Subsistence Regional Program Manager for the northern two-thirds of Alaska. In 2014, the Department of Fish and Game estimated that Alaska residents harvested approximately 45.9 million pounds of fish and wildlife for subsistence or personal home use. Rural Alaska residents harvest approximately 34 million pounds each year, and urban Alaska residents harvest approximately 11.6 million pounds of fish and wildlife each year for subsistence or personal home use. Of the estimated annual total subsistence harvest in rural Alaska, 32% is of salmon, representing almost 11 million usable pounds of salmon harvested by rural Alaskans for subsistence. Subsistence-caught wild salmon are critical to rural Alaskan communities, economies, and food security. With significant changes taking place in Alaska salmon populations resulting from climate change, hatchery production, and the effects of commercial fishing and other economic development in light of large-scale environmental change, it is a critical time to update our existing salmon habitat protection laws and regulations.
The ballot initiative, which I strongly support, takes important steps to ensuring continued food security for Alaska residents. One of the recent examples I experienced was writing a report where I was trying to characterize the salmon habitat of the Kuskokwim watershed in partnership with the Department of Fish and Game. I contacted the Division of Subsistence for some empirical basis for the often stated characterizations of the salmon habitat as pristine, yet I knew, as the other testifiers have spoken to, the Superfund site on the Kuskokwim from historic mining activity. And unfortunately, Habitat Division was only able to tell me that they could provide me what development permits they've issued, but there is no document or no one-stop shopping place for information that actually characterized the status of salmon habitat. And I think this proposition is one step two in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Dania Darnell.
Hello, Lieutenant Governor. Thank you for coming here today. My name is Daniel Darnell. Let's see, my grandparents came up to Alaska in the 1940s. I've lived here most of my life. My family lives here. We reside here. I'm a proud union member. I work here in town at Flowline, Alaska. I think there's no disagreement. Everybody in Alaska really does love salmon. We feed our families. A lot of us go to the Chitna personal use fishery. That's not really in question. Salmon numbers have changed. They're influenced by a lot more what happens out in the ocean, where they spend 75% of their life. And I think some other people had remarked on that. I think that's where we need to focus our efforts to recover the population. Now, states cannot regulate the high seas. That's what our federal government needs to do. So I urge people to contact, you know, our senators here in Alaska and Representative Don Young. There needs to be federal legislation to help the salmon recover that are out in the ocean. I say only 50% of the rivers here are protected by the state law. And that is true, but 100% of the rivers are protected through the Clean Water Act. So people need to keep that in mind. Someone mentioned the Koch brothers and their influence on this proposition. On the other side of the issue, the Stand Up for Salmon people have been heavily funded from the East Coast hedge fund manager. There's a lot of outside interest here being involved in Alaska. In conclusion, I think it's important people realize how important mining and the oil industry is for our state. If this Measure 1, Proposition 1 goes through, it's going to affect our home values, our jobs. The whole state is really going to suffer significantly financially. So I urge people to vote no on Prop 1. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott, last name beginning with an F. Or an E? Okay, Tyler Steele.
Good afternoon. My name is Tyler Steele. I'm a North Pole homeowner. Born and raised here, and I plan to remain here for the rest of my life. I'm an avid hunter, and I'm an avid fisherman. I regularly dip net in the Chitna for my yearly salmon. I love salmon. I ate it just the other day. That being said, I oppose ballot measure 1. It affects my ability to do those activities. Ballot measure 1 is trying to fix a problem that simply doesn't exist in Alaska. It would destroy jobs and put my livelihood and the livelihood of thousands of others in jeopardy. I'm a project engineer for Flowline Alaska, a local company that supports energy development on the North Slope. I like to think of myself as a libertarian. I'm not the biggest fan of the government or regulation in general, but I do love Alaska. That being said, these new regulations are going to hurt the state and the state budget. Stand for Salmon needs the state budget to implement itself. Ironically, the energy development is where the bulk of the state's budget comes from. I'm also going to bring up something else that really hasn't been said. these regulations affect much more than just protecting salmon. This ballot measure affects us all, no matter what side of the aisle you vote on. I'm talking about our permanent fund. It is already being garnished to help pay for the state's inflated spending problem. It is the energy development companies that maintain your permanent fund and the bulk of the state funding. You want to see your PFD disappear, then by all means, go vote yes. If you want to keep your government afloat and you want to keep your PFD, then please vote no. Thank you.
Thank you. Rich Seifert.
Thank you. My name is Rich Seifert, 48-year resident of Fairbanks. I never lived anywhere else, graduate of UAF. You may not believe it, but I eat salmon every day, and so I stand before you as what that results in. May not be the best argument for salmon, but I am what I am. But I just want to say that our Alaskan wild salmon is our Alaska heritage, and all the species and everything about it makes me realize that Alaska wild salmon resources, without question, the greatest salmon resource in the known universe. I'll take it to the ultimate extent. There just isn't anything else that comes close. No other resource of salmon comes close. It deserves the highest level of protection, and we should give it that protection that because it's such a magnificent resource. I've spent many years going to Chitna, and everybody who is a fisherman and a hunter who knows they can provide for their family, it is the most wonderful feeling to have that rich resource there and to experience that whole wild environment and the whole canyon ambiance. There's just nothing like it. That's a wonderful thing. And I want to see that available to everyone in the future. The Stand for Salmon group and the initiative itself does that. It supports that idea to protect the salmon, and it does it very carefully. And I think that's what I would say. This doesn't have to be about jobs versus salmon. People who will do their jobs carefully and do their jobs well will harvest the salmon. If you don't protect the environment and do your job well when that permitting comes around, there won't be salmon. There are jobs to be had in the protection of salmon. This is, does not have to be about salmon versus jobs. And more, someone talked about the cost burden of permitting on the development. Oops. Time's up already. Sorry. But this proposal does actually put the ability of the government to assess the cost and puts the cost on the developer, where in the past it has been on the state. And that's not the best of arrangements. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll take a brief recess. We do have many more signed up to testify, no matter what we do, other than stay here well into the evening, which I am unable to do, and I think many of you are also, will not be able to finish the hearing all of those who wish to at this hearing. As indicated earlier, you're all welcome to submit written comments, but if those who would like to continue, I will go another half hour and hear as many as possible during that time. Does that make sense? Why don't we do that? But in the meantime, let's stand up and take a stretch, and then we will go until 4:35. And we will begin with Jordy Carroll.
Jordy Carroll, yes. For the record, my name is Jordy Carroll. I'm a 45-year Alaskan resident, homeowner, disabled, actually. As a child, I've enjoyed fishing many years. Through the years, I remember the tragedy of several damaging events by pipeline companies, by oil companies, and it saddened me, especially the biggest oil spill within the state, that being Valdez. And I saw the major impact that that damage did. So, in a lot of ways, in looking at this whole issue, I am voting yes on this. Because I want to not eliminate corporate control, but give it less power than a lot of these corporate entities seem to like to possess over employees, etc. I think that pretty much says everything.
Okay. Thank you so much for being so patient.
You're welcome. And thank you for allowing me to kind of weigh in before making my testimony.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks.
Dan Ross.
Well, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to have a few words. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Don.
Going into the record, I'm not sure this is an amplifying mic, but so if you could.
Okay. Thank you again for making this opportunity possible. I didn't think I would have a chance to have a few words to say. I've lived in Alaska for 4 decades. I won't admit exactly how long, but when I first came to Alaska, one of the first jobs I had was working on the Chena River doing salmon surveys. And at that time, the King Salmon Run there was much diminished from what it is today. And at that time, there were mining companies that were discharging pollutants into the Little Chena River as well as the East Fork of the Chena. And when those activities ceased, probably due to changes in the law, the water clarified and fish returned. So I think the point is that it's habitat destruction historically that has resulted in the demise of salmon, especially in the Pacific Northwest, where it's been dam building, pollution from forestry practices, and other contaminants entering the river. So we have it, as some people have said here, the opportunity to do it right in Alaska. And one of the ways, for me at least personally, is to protect salmon habitat. When you come to view all of life as sacred, as I have, kind of an evolutionary process of consciousness, human endeavors need to be balanced against the needs of the creation that we're all a part of. And I don't think that's always been the case. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm sorry, is it Dan or Don?
Don. Yeah, that's my handwriting.
Yeah. You know, your hat tells me you've been here more than just a few decades. Lisa.
I knew you wouldn't try my last name. It's Baroff.
Baroff.
Yeah.
B-A-R-A-F-F. Baroff. I've never heard that name before.
Because there's no other Baroff in Alaska.
Okay.
It's Romanian. Anyway, thank you for allowing, for you being here and allowing us to be here. My name again is Lisa Baroff, and I am speaking in support of Proposition 1. And I have a few things to say here regarding that. And the level of development and the population level and also now the impacts of climate change that we are experiencing today were not the conditions in place or the status when Title 16 was originally passed. A lot has changed since then. And the legislature did have the opportunity to address this through the legislative process, which would have spoken to what a gentleman spoke to earlier about this having some public input into the process, through HB 199, and they did not do so in this last legislative session. And so as a result, we have this ballot measure. And I'm actually going to quote someone that had an op-ed in the paper recently, or back in August, and this is Frank Rue. He was the former commissioner of ADF&G. And as he stated in that op-ed on 4 August, without the stimulus of this ballot initiative, I do not think the legislature will give the Department of Fish and Game strong, clear, science-based anadromous fish habitat standards and a robust public process that I think are needed to keep Alaska's wild salmon healthy and sustainable in the face of climate change and ongoing development pressure. It also, this initiative removes some of the subjectivity in describing what a protective process would be and removes some of the changes that can occur through changes of administration. The state used to have a coastal zone management program that was repealed by the legislature several years ago, and that law had provided for habitat standards as well as local government and public participation and trying to seek a balance between development and fisheries protection, and that is no longer with us. We no longer have that, and this will help move that. Anyway, my final thing is that this bill really is sort of a precautionary principle of where you assume anadromy until proven otherwise, and I hope others will also vote yes on Proposition 1. Thanks.
Thank you. David Wright.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for being here and offering this opportunity. My name is David Wright. I moved as a young man to the interior in 1971, and I'm a retired union construction worker. I am a prospector. I'm also an avid salmon fisherman, and we eat a lot of salmon. I believe in very strong protections for our salmon habitat, but I also believe that Proposition 1 is a terrible vehicle for it. Unlike the proponents, I disagree. I think it opens the door wide for anyone, anywhere, to challenge any project that will happen here, including small things, including things for the villages like sewage treatment plants and airport runways. And the woman who made the statement at the beginning for Stand for Salmon, a biologist herself, I believe you made the statement that the villages would practically have to dam the Yukon in order to reach the higher standard of permit. If I am correct, that's an incredibly disingenuous statement coming from a scientist, and it underscores for me what a big problem with this is. I believe that while our process is not perfect, and it certainly can and should be improved, I think we have what is arguably the best, most rigorous, science-based permit process in America and possibly the world right now. Yes, it could be improved. It should be improved. Proposition 1 is not the way to do it. I think it will throttle development in Alaska by opening the door to lawsuits, endless, endless, endless lawsuits from anybody, any organization, anywhere, anytime. We need to do a better job than this. So I'm strongly against Proposition 1. Thank you.
Thank you. Roger Burggraf.
I'm Roger Burggraf. I reside at 830 Sheep Creek Road, Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm opposed to ballot measure 1, and I encourage people to vote against it. This ballot measure has been written without public input and would be very costly to implement, causing serious impacts to our economy. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has done an excellent job in managing Alaska's fisheries since statehood. I was here before statehood. I have a BS degree in from Cornell University in Wildlife Management and Conservation. I worked for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service prior to statehood in Southeast Alaska. The state has implemented stringent regulations to protect our salmon, and I agree with the fisheries resources that they should be protected. I also like to harvest and eat salmon. To develop any procedure to extract other natural resources, it can take years to get permitted in many cases, at great cost to the company and individuals that want to provide and that products that benefit the state, the nation, and the world economy. The development of our resources provides jobs to thousands of Alaskans. The state of Alaska and the federal government and the world benefits from the resources we develop in a responsible environmental way. The state has the responsibility to all of its, to develop its natural resources in a responsible manner. The salmon are a very important part of our economy, but so is mining, harvesting timber, production of oil and gas, building roads, airports, providing facilities for villages, installing sewage plants, one of them, building airports, and other entities. Ballot measure number one would make it very difficult to obtain permits, which would benefit Alaskans' resources, which not only provide jobs to villages, provide villages services, and develop roads, and also benefit the nation.
Thank you.
So I recommend we vote.
Ken Nell?
Paul.
I'm sorry?
Paul.
Well, thank you for coming on up here and allowing us to give a few moments of talk. And I wrote some quick notes here without glasses, so you may get a laundry list or you may get my comments on the initiative. Thank you for the opportunity.
You wrote your name without glasses, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My name is Ken Hall. I was born and raised in Alaska, and my family is also in Alaska. I appreciate the opportunity to speak regarding to the Stand for Salmon Initiative. No matter when you came to Alaska, whether it was 10,000 years ago, last year, most likely you came to Alaska because of the resource, whether it was walking, swimming, growing, or hundreds of feet below the ground. It was the resources and the ability to develop the responsible management of the Alaska resources that has been the foundation for Alaska and granting its statehood. Alaska has been in a unique position. Being the 49th state, it has had the opportunity to see what has and has not worked through other states. We have had some of the best people, experience, science, and technology to manage our resources. I am totally confused on why we would want to change and cast away the hard work and science that has managed the resources in Alaska thus far. I take offense to the fact that the regulations now are 60 years old and they need to be discarded. I was 60 years old on my last birthday. The Alaska Constitution is 60 years old. The U.S. Constitution is 200 years old. They're working documents. We need to work within the systems that we have. I am opposed to ballot measure number one. Thank you.
Thank you. And you, of course, are welcome to submit your entire statement.
Thanks.
Thank you. Misty Nicolai?
I'm Misty Nicolai. I really don't know what generation Alaskan I am, as my ancestors have been here, been stewards of this land since time immemorial. My son Isaiah testified earlier in support of Proposition 1. He marks the sixth generation in my family post-contact who is still fighting for the protection of Alaska's land, animals, and water. My son and I are here testifying today because it is our responsibility as Diné to be responsible stewards of the land, water, animals, and sky, and to act in the best interest of all Alaskan peoples. I've been thinking about responsibility in different spheres in Alaska. And I was thinking about the state government and how their primary responsibility is to act in the citizens' best interest rather than in corporate interest. Stand for Alaska has already poured millions into opposing the protection of our salmon, water, land, animals, and our citizens who rely on those natural resources to afford to feed their families. Corporations based on extractive industry have the ear of our lawmakers, first because of the millions they pour into lobbying, just as they did when pressuring our government to take our permanent fund dividends rather than to change the subsidies that we hand out to them. Second, because they have secured a seat at our government's table through the Resource Development Council. To be absolutely clear, for-profit corporations whose only interest is their own financial gains are influencing our Alaskan government, whose sole responsibility is supposed to be to the people. This is a blatant conflict of interest. They're pouring millions into marketing and just telling our people lies, filling our social media with propaganda. And so our government is thinking, okay, that's where our votes lie. Our people say they want this. But sometimes you have to say weigh what they want and what is in the interest of Alaska's people for all of the generations to come, not just for my Diné people, but for all of Alaskan people, regardless of how many generations you've been here.
Thank you, Ms. Dean. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Adrienne Titus.
I'm Akaluk. I'm in English, Adrienne Titus. I was born in Alaska and have lived here all my life. I currently live in Fairbanks with my two sons. My older boy, Genesis, testified earlier. I sit here today in support of Stand for Salmon and ballot measure one. I see there's a huge inequality and inopportune. Sorry, this is so hard for me to control these emotions. 2 minutes is nearly not enough. There's 229 federally recognized tribes in Alaska and 7 of these meetings held. And 33% of our residents that live in Alaska live in these rural communities that are going to face the frontline impacts of any of this development.
This may give you a chance to compose a little bit. You said 229?
Yeah.
We did an administrative order yesterday declaring a linguistic emergency. And I swore there were 227, and that's what we put in the document. Going to have to find those other two, aren't I?
You are.
Thank you, Adrian. Continue.
So we see the impacts of this development firsthand, and we're seeing the impacts of climate change 2 to 3 times faster than the rest of the world, and the impacts of further development, extractive industry in Alaska is going to further the detriment of the people that live in these frontline communities that are already suffering to just survive and keep a hold on to their way of life that has been gifted to them since time immemorial. And so I'm in opposition of any further development in these salmon streams and salmon beds that give us our way of life and complete that circle that we are a need of to be able to continue on as Indigenous people and to support not just our people in Alaska, but the rest of the world that's impacted by development that is done here. I encourage all of you to take a second today as you leave here and think about the consequences of the decisions that will be made. Thank you.
Thank you. Sarah Maupin.
Uvanga Sikanik, Maupin, Akaga Unukuyuk Maupin, Apaga Raymond Maupin. My name is Sikanik Maupin. My English name is Sarah. My parents are Harriet Unukuyuk Maupin, and my father is Raymond Maupin. I grew up in Fairbanks. That's been said before is I don't know what generation I am. My mother has is from formerly known Barrow, and my grandmother had never seen someone other than Anupiaq people until she was about 10 years old. My father has been a union worker since he came to Alaska and has raised me fishing my whole life. And I'm sorry I'm a little emotional, and I'm trying to kind of collect myself as well. I come here to testify in support of Ballot Measure 1. Since I was a teenager, I've heard, seen news about Pebble Mine. Time and time again, against the million-dollar propaganda given in favor for this mine, people power has stood strong. I wondered how a majority of the state's population can, year after year, fight against this project, but still have to come back once again in opposition. As the 1% of the world and those who do not reside in Alaska stand to tell Alaskan natives and lifelong Alaskans that putting our backyard up for development with well-known inevitable permanent damage is the right choice. Now to take the new approach, they have partnered with Native corporations that have huge conflicts of interest. As an Anupiaq woman and ASRC shareholder, I know they do not speak for a large part of their people. The same billion-dollar investors into Stand for Alaska are the same investors in ASRC, so their tactic to tokenize our corporation for their benefit means little. The waters that have our sacred salmon and clean water is not for sale. The benefit of a renewable economy that does not just benefit the out-of-state mining companies and 1% is but a widespread advantage and livelihood for many Alaskans. This ballot will hold these companies that do not know the word no accountable. This initiative will protect our future economy and health. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Douglas McIntosh.
He left and left written testimony.
Okay. Sarah Lefebvre or Lefebvre?
Lefebvre.
I'm a 34-year resident of Fairbanks, the granddaughter of Ernest Swift, a conservationist who was the assistant director of Fish and Wildlife in Washington, D.C., and then the director of the National Wildlife Fund. We've heard today that we are functioning under laws established in 1950, and we've heard about ineffective culverts and challenges with population growth. What wasn't said is that we aren't functioning under laws established in 1950. I have worked in the construction industry for 20 years. In that 20 years, the standards under which we currently permit and the standards we build to in the field are not recognizable to what they were 20 years ago. Each project has dedicated staff, and millions of dollars are spent each year in the state of Alaska managing water issues on projects to ensure that impacts are avoided to waterways. In addition, DOT has begun a focused effort on replacing culverts on projects with fish passage culverts, reconnecting historical waterways. Additionally, in 2017, our company and this year our competitor have built projects that are sequenced to restore an entire fisheries habitat. The efforts of the initiative are already happening. Stewardship is already happening. The initiative is not a wise or effective way to rewrite the laws and regulations of the state. Proper process exists and was not used. Relying on emotion and whether or not you love salmon is not the proper way to correct the problem. They should specifically identify ways in the current law and areas in the regulation where it's lacking, and then propose solutions that go through the rigorous process that is and should be in place to protect all residents and users of the resource. Thank you.
Thank you. Dorothy Shockley, and then Sam Dementiev will be our final giver of testimony. What is the word I'm looking for? Is testifier a word? It is?
I think so.
Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Byron. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm Dorothy Shockley. My family comes from Tanana, Rampart, Stevens Village, and Manly Hot Springs, but all communities are on the Yukon and Tanana River. I am currently president of our village corporation, former legislative aide for state senator for 8 years. I sit on the planning team, the regional planning team for the Comprehensive Salmon Plan, the alternate for the Yukon River Fish Commission, an alternate for the Yukon River Drainage Fish Association, and I'm also on the board for the Alaska Native Village Corporation Association. I stand for salmon, and I will always stand for salmon. The decisions we make today will affect 7 generations. I want my great-grandchildren, my great-great-great-grandchildren, to have salmon in the future. When we look at production and mining, things that could affect our fishing, our salmon, those are temporary compared to the thousands of years salmon have been swimming in the rivers. And when we talk about jobs for who? When I worked in the legislature, I worked on non-resident salmon or non-resident non-resident hire issues, and over 50% on an average were non-resident. So when we talk about jobs, you know, we're not talking about Alaskans getting those jobs. And when we talk about regulations for this ballot, they haven't even been written yet. So how can we oppose and say that be litigated for years or, you know, months? And as far as expecting the state and feds to protect our salmon, I feel that is we're sorely missed in that regard. And because through the Comprehensive Salmon Plan that I've been working on, just in a short 75-mile area between Tanana and Manly, there were 5 streams that were recognized as salmon spawning streams that were not in the state system. So there is lots of things that we can improve on, and I think that's one thing that we need to do. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dorothy. Sam Dementiev.
Sydney?
Okay, Sydney.
Patricia Salmon.
Okay.
Maybe on the other
page. Okay, got it.
My name is Sam Dementiev. I was born here in Alaska in 1939. I'm a Dagaton Athabascan. People have basic needs. Shelter, food, family, social needs. Salmon is a renewable resource. It comes back. It's been here for thousands of years. Moose, caribou, whales, all these things are renewable food. While oil, gold, other mined minerals are non-renewable, they do not come back. Once they're developed, as usually pollution takes place, causing damage to renewable resource areas such as water, air, and the earth, plants. Stand for Salmon says, take care of the things that take care of some of our basic needs. Like I said, food, shelter. Take care of the earth. If the wording in this ballot measure is a problem, fix the words. Change them. The intent behind Stand for Salmon is the protection of a renewable resource, salmon. Stand for Alaska is paid for by an oil company. We can all see that. And the ads across ConocoPhillips, an oil company. Stand for salmon is paid for by the people. And they stand for salmon. My dad says, you cannot eat oil. You can't eat gold. The other thing I'd like to say is, me and my wife talked this over. We see people fighting for it against each other, families, friends. I don't like the idea of Alaskans fighting against each other, but I'm voting in favor of this proposition. Stand for salmon.
Thank you, Sam. Okay. Patricia Salmon.
Good afternoon. I'm Patricia Salmon from Chalkeith, Alaska. I have two children and two grandchildren. I'm a rural development student at the University of Alaska. I work for Chalkeith Village Council Environmental Program since 2012. Chalkeith is located 150 miles northeast of Fairbanks on the Yukon Flats. Chalkeith is an isolated village of approximately 85 people. The main source of transportation is the daily flight by Wright Air. I guess you know that the cost of living in the village is pretty high. The freight cost is like $1.75 a pound, and the fuel is like $8 a gallon. Ballot measure one is a bread and butter issue for my family and the families in my community to protect water quality, habitat for salmon and other aquatic species essential to protect our traditional way of life. Living off the land, as our ancestors have done for thousands of years, allow us to feed our families, which is essential to our culture and economic survival. There was a study done on the Dronjik River of the spawning area last year. Dronjik River is an important spawning stream for three species of salmon, including Chinook salmon. Until 2 years ago, the agronomist catalog did not list Black River for Chinook or of coho, and even now research is slowly revealing more and more how important Black River Dronjik is for salmon production in the Yukon River drainage. It is critical that all stream in Alaska be protected, as it will take decades or longer to complete the catalog. Those protections identified in ballot measure one will ensure the families in Chalkeetsuk will be able to continue to live off the land and offset the expense to relying solely on groceries shipped in. The decision made about ballot measure one will affect my children, grandchildren, and generations to come. We have a responsibility to protect our resources for them, for their future, and the future of the people across the state. I fully support ballot measure one. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. I'd like to thank all of those who testified today, all of those who attended this hearing. I'd like to thank the Legislative Affairs Agency and its staff for helping to organize and make this hearing possible. The hearing on Citizen Initiative 17FSH2 in Fairbanks is now adjourned.
And thank you for staying 45 minutes over. Good to hear from everybody.
Did you want to take pictures of them?
Yeah.
How are you, John?
Not bad.
How about you?
The translation in Katie had already stopped by the time I called her.
What about it?
The UTIC I think Claire wanted it, and then Katie didn't know where it was, but it sounds like Katie found it.
Oh, right on the notice where it was?
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.